Everybody got it? Amen. And the Bible says, Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. May God of the blessing of those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Want to use for a thought, title, topic, or tag to this message. When you are a worshiper, he will deliver. When you are a worshiper, he will deliver. Amen. Amen. The book of Daniel picks up in a Babylonian exile. The Neo-Babylonian period is what they call it. But in this exile, the king here, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, was much different than the kings before, such as the Assyrians during that period when they conquered Israel. They destroyed all they could, destroyed the people, destroyed all they could destroy. And they really did the people bad, so bad that when you find in the book of Jonah that the reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and prophesy to the Ninevites because he knew that they would repent. And he hated them because of what they had done to his family members or the generations before him, how bad off they were. So the Assyrians were bad, but then the Babylonians, who were also bad, who overtook the Assyrians, now they were the power of the world, per se, and they were a different kind. Because what they would do, they would go into a city or a country, and they would find the brightest and the best children, and they would take them, and they would train them in the Babylonian way. They would teach them the sciences. They would teach them the ways of worship. They would teach them the governmental ways, and kind of they did the same thing that we do kind of in America, or the way that England did and some of the European nations when they went into other countries. They went in and imperialized them, and they pushed off the democracy that we know today onto them, right? So it's the same thing, and almost the same thing. Train us in the way that you want us to believe, and train us in the way that you want us to learn and act. And so the Babylonians did some of the same thing. And so they were a group of people who allowed you to be your own people, but they wanted you to take on their ways. Doesn't that sound like America? All right, I'm gonna leave that right there. So Nebuchadnezzar took these wise young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He took them and he began to give them food from the king's table. But because they were devout and because they loved God, they refused to eat from the king's table, and somebody was able to give them some what we call pulse, and they ate a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they maintained their stature and their comeliness before them, even though they refused to eat the meat, the finest meats that they could find in Babylon that came from the king's table. Now, as they grew up, we will find out that Daniel was put to be one of the princes, the chief prince in the province, because he was the chief eunuch. He was the head of all the ones that were in the king house. And then we find out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also given positions because of their wisdom and their knowledge. Do you know that if you serve God, he'll make you wise? Do you know that if you serve God, you'll have wisdom, and not only that, but he'll bring you before great men and he'll give you favor? Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, before this, their name was, Mishael, Azariah, and forget the other one. Michael, Azariah, and forgot the other one's name. But anyway, their names had something related to God. And they changed their name from something related to their God to something related to the Babylonian gods. The first thing that Satan wants to do is separate your relationship with God.
Yeah.
He don't want you to show your affiliation to God, so that's why he'd rather not have you called by the name Christian, because people now want to label you something else. Amen. And so they labeled them something else, but then we find out that one day Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he didn't know what that dream meant, so he called all the wizards, sorcerers, and the wise men of the kingdom, and nobody could tell him his dream or what it meant. So he called on Daniel, and Daniel came in, and Daniel said, let me tell you what your dream was, and let me tell you what your dream meant. Daniel told him what his dream was. He had a dream of a golden top, a statue with a golden head and shoulders, and then it had brass, and it had, at the end of it, had metal mixed with mud, you know, or clay rather. And what he was telling him, he's telling him that these are different kingdoms that are going to come after you. And what he was trying to get him to understand was that he was the beginning of several kingdoms that was coming later on, that he started something. Well, what we find out now is that when Nebuchadnezzar heard the dream, because the top was golden, he made a statue, and the statue was all golden, because Nebuchadnezzar said, I will not ever have my kingdom to be diminished into anything less than a divine golden kingdom that will never perish. So he made a golden image. And it was representing himself and his kingdom to say that I'm just like God. My kingdom will not fail and it will not go away. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar did this, and he told him, he said, now whenever you hear the music, whenever you hear the clarinet, the drums, or whatever, you hear the horns blow, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, stop and worship. Amen. And so When he said that, he made a decree that because they had some people that was trying to trap these boys, these young men who served God, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, why don't you make that a decree that whenever somebody refused to bow down to the image which represents you and your kingdom, then guess what? We want them to be thrown into the fiery furnace to be burned up. And he said, well, good idea. And he signed the decree, and he said, okay, nobody in the kingdom or the province of Babylon or under the leadership of Babylon and his government should not, if they refuse to bow down, they're going to be thrown into the fire. So after they knew all of this was signed, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went ahead and they decided we're going to still serve God. We're not going to serve Nebuchadnezzar or his image. Now, here it is. Now, I want you to see something first. The first thing I want you to see is they refuse to worship the image. Now, the problem with us in our day is that it doesn't matter what the image is, we'll worship it. It doesn't matter. We'll find the image on television to worship. We'll find the car to worship. Preach. We'll find the house to worship. We'll find a person to worship. Right? And what I mean by that is that we'll put more into the images that we see, the images of the world, than we put into God. Let me tell you something. Image is nothing. Thirst is everything. The Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I wish I had somebody today. We get to a place now in America, in this society, that it doesn't take much for us. You got people that will spend money on plastic surgery to look like somebody else, some celebrity. Amen. We'll dress our children like them. We will spend thousands of dollars to look like, to dress like, to carry a bag like, drive a car like. And then we come to church and give $1. Where is our worship? What image do we worship? We have to know that the images that we see there, you got to know something, that the devil want to be worshiped. He wants to be worshiped. Remember I told you that until he was there to tempt Jesus, but until Jesus, and when he said, if you worship me, I'll give you this, and until Jesus said, get behind me, I'm not worshiping anybody, but he said, worship the Lord thy God, and he only shall thou serve, until Jesus said that, the devil was still there. But when he said, I'm not worshiping you, then he left. So you got to make up your mind. That's why he's always in your face. Because he don't know, you worshiping the image most of the time, but you worship God Sunday for about 30 minutes, and then rest of the week you worship the image. You worship something else, somebody else, even if it's your children or yourself, whatever it is, you worshiping something else. And the devil is always there because you haven't decided that I'm only going to worship God and him only will I serve. Y'all with me? Thank you, Tanisha. And so he says that the image, whenever you hear the music, bow to the image. And I told you this time and time again, that every time there's an image, you think about music and the image, it goes together. Whenever you hear the music, you remember who it was. Yeah. Or you remember where you was. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Whenever, if you hear that song, you hadn't heard it in 15 years, but if you hear that song today, you know you was with when you heard that song the first time. It's tied to an image. You remember if he sang that song to you when y'all was dating. Now you ain't seen Elroy in 15 years, but that song played and all of a sudden you remember the Elroy with his shag cut. You remember Elroy, with his hush puppy shoes on, pants legs wiped out. You know what I'm saying? He don't look like that now. But you remember the image. Y'all with me? So what happens is the devil likes to use music. He likes to use entertainment to get you into worship. That's why you got to enter into it. Entertainment. You got to enter into it. And so he wants you to be entertained rather than to worship. And so we in the church, we have mistakenly taken worship and pushed in the church entertainment. People who entertain the best are the people who get the most claps. People who entertain the best are the ones that people go to see the most often. Amen. And so we got to get out of entertainment and get into some participatory worship, because when we start to worship, then you forget about who's entertaining and you start to say, Lord, I'm only worshiping you. I don't care. I don't care who it is that's doing whatever they're doing. All I know is I came to worship. I came to give you my best. I came to lay down my arms and I came to pick up my hands and come out with a clean heart and a clean head so that I can make sure that I give you my all. But we're too into entertainment. That's why we got to hear hoop every time we hear somebody preach. We're too into entertainment. That's why if a person don't growl when they sing, they ain't said nothing. They can't move me. I don't like that song. Well, listen to the words. The words mean something. It ain't in all of that. The words mean something, and you should take the words and say, I don't have my own words, so let me borrow yours. That's the whole reason why the book of Psalms was written, because it was a psalm book of hymns that were used to worship God. And when we worship God and use those words, we're saying to him, the Lord, you are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You're the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I wish I had a few people in here that said, I'll use the words to worship God. We use them to worship people. We tell them how good they look, how good they are, how awesome they are. Oh, you rock. We tell them all of this instead of telling the Rock of Ages that I sure appreciate you, because I couldn't have woke myself up this morning. I couldn't have started myself on my own way. I thank you that you kept my children. We tell all the other people thank you, but what about telling the Lord thank you? But you got to become a worshiper. You got to make sure that you show that whatever it is about your life, that my life ain't worth anything without you. Right. Hallelujah. So he built an image, and he said, I want you to bow down to it. And they refused. And the Bible says that there were some folks that was mad with them because they refused to worship the way that they was worshiping. And they worshiped the way God wanted them to worship. I said this, and I'm going to say it again. If your worship don't anger some people sometime, you ain't really worshiping. Sometimes people will get angry with you just because you're trying to do it the way God wants it done. And if you're trying to do it the way God wants it done, it doesn't matter if nobody pats you on the back. It doesn't matter if nobody say, good job. Doesn't matter if nobody else does it with you. You should do it all by yourself. And don't worry about the others, because I'm not doing it for you anyway. I'm doing it for the one. And the one is the only one that saved my soul. The one is the only one that healed my body. The one is the only one that I deserve, that deserves my praise and that I owe anything to. And so all I'm going to do is worship him. See, your worship sometimes ought to anger some people. It ought to put them, if you read the scripture, and I'm going to try to get through it, but if you read the scripture, the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar became furious and his visage changed. In other words, he started looking at them differently because of how they worship. If people don't look at you differently because of how you worship, you ain't no different than the world. We have to be different. The Bible said for us not to be a person or people that are predictable, but he said be a peculiar people. We are royal priests. I wish I had somebody. We need to be peculiar, not like everybody else, doing it the way everybody else does it, going down the street. I think it's all right because they did it. Well, Kirk Franklin said stomp, and he had a rap we ought to do. I'm not saying anything about Kurt. I know you're getting mad, but what I'm saying is that I'm not going to do it like he did it, because I'm going to do it the way God said. I'm not offering strange fire to God. I got a fire of my own self, the fire of the Holy Ghost burning on the inside of me. He'll lead me in the way of worship, and I don't have to be led by somebody else. They refuse to worship the image. They refuse to put the image on their mind. See, we got a whole bunch of other stuff on our mind when we come to worship. We got to get those images out of our mind. Get him off your mind. I know he did you wrong. What was he last night? You don't even know. But get his image out of your mind. I know last week it was pretty bad, but and you wanted, you're going to tell the boss off Monday. But get the boss out of your mind. Come on, get those images out of your mind. I know your bills are due. You're looking at a bill now. You're looking at your car note. You're looking at your electricity bill or your light bill, electric bill, whatever you call it. You're looking at all of that stuff, and you got to get those images out of your mind. When you come to worship, God will not share your mind with anything. He said, I want your mind. I want your heart. I want your body. When you worship me, put all of that stuff out, and here I come. I want to enter in, and I'm going to abide. I wish I had somebody. I'm putting all of this stuff out. I'm evicting you problems. I'm evicting my pain. I'm evicting the devil, because he put all of this stuff in. You know the devil put it in your face because he wants you to think about it. But today I'm closing my eyes to it. I can't even see it. And I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And matter of fact, I'm just going to speak to it until it be removed and cast in the sea, because I got faith that God will and that God can, because I'm a worshiper. And I declare that if you are a worshiper, he will deliver you. Yes, he will. He'll deliver you. You got to know that he'll deliver you. He won't let you stay bound. You don't. Okay, let me get me a witness, since I can't get one out there. He won't let you stay bound when you're a worshiper. Come here, Paul and Silas. I have two witnesses that say that whenever they were put in jail, they were bound and locked down, and they had chains on their hands and fetters on their feet. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas begin to pray, and they begin to sing praises unto God, sound like a worship service to me. And as they begin to pray and worship God, the Bible said that they were ashamed about their problem. They weren't ashamed in their situation, because all the prisoners heard them. They woke some folks up with their praise. Can you do that? Can you wake people up? Your neighbor been sleeping the whole service and they ain't woke yet. I can't tell. Look down the pew and tell them, get up. It's time to worship. It's time to praise. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, they sang praises at midnight, and the prisoners heard them. And as they were praising God, the chains fell off, and the chains fell off their feet, and they were able to get moving. They were able to lift their hands if they want. God wants you free to worship. Do you know? And not only that, but the Bible said that while they were worshiping, all the prisoners in the place, the doors opened up, and they were able to be free. But they sat there because they couldn't understand what was going on, and God God freedom up to worship. All I'm trying to tell you that if you would be the worshiper in your house, if you would be the worshiper in your family, there is no telling what God might do. He might free up your cousin. He might let them be free off of drugs. He might free up your mother. He might, oh, come on and say amen. He might drop the chains off your children. But you got to be the one that decides, I'll worship him. I'm going to lift him up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Y'all got to let me finish. Y'all got to let me get there. Hallelujah. There's no telling what God might do if you worship. Oh, you quiet and you letting them complain in front of you. You letting them talk bad about what's going on. Why don't you, whenever they start complaining, you just, hallelujah, just bust out. Look, if you're a tongue talker, just say, hallelujah. Just whatever. Just do something that make them uncomfortable about their complaining. Let them know that I'm not complaining. I'm claiming. I'm claiming that I got victory. I'm claiming that we're healed. I'm claiming that we're set free. I'm claiming that the devil can't have me. I'm claiming that I, oh, hallelujah. Y'all, come on now. Now put that on your shoes. Come on and say amen now. Yes, yes, yes. I ain't complaining. I'm claiming. I'll try to get finished here. First thing I said, that they refused to worship the image. But look, number two, the second thing is that, it ain't rhyming, it ain't no points that you, but the second thing is that they were willing to suffer the consequences. They were willing to suffer. Are you willing to go through? Listen, let me tell you, when you're a worshiper, first off, the world hates you because Jesus said they hated me first, right? First thing. Secondly, the devil hates you because you remind him of the defeat that he suffered and you took his place, because the vacancy in heaven that was left from him when he was praising God, he got kicked out. And God said, well, I don't need him in heaven to praise me. I need him on earth. And he calls us. He said that he called us out of darkness to his marvelous light, that we may what? Show forth praises, right? So we can show forth praise of him that called us out, right? And so Satan is mad because you took his job. You ever had somebody that got mad with you because, maybe you married the person they thought they were supposed to, Every time they see you, the devil is doing that to you every day. He's accusing you of something, right? He don't like you. And so we got to understand that there's going to be some consequences, because there's an enemy, a common enemy that we have. We're not each other's enemy, amen, but we have a common enemy, amen. And so they refused, they knew the consequences. When they knew the consequences, they still said, I'm going to worship anyhow. When you know what the enemy is trying to do and you say, I don't care, you're sold out. You are. The Bible says that when you get the word, look, you can't say, I don't know what I did wrong for this to be going on in my life. You ain't did nothing wrong. Tell somebody you ain't did nothing wrong. Can I say ain't, y'all? You ain't did nothing wrong. Okay, well, for the teachers, I know it hurts you to say that. You haven't did anything wrong. You haven't did anything wrong. When trouble comes your way, you've done it right. Because the Bible says that when the word is sown, that immediately, so you better get ready, the enemy comes to choke it up. Right? And so he comes to try to get out of you what God put in you. And the thing about it is that he can't take it out, but he tried to pressure you so that you'll spit it out. He don't want it to take root in your life. Hallelujah. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to put them in the fiery furnace. He got angry with them. He decided that he's going to throw them in there. And they knew what they were up against. But look at this, and I'm going to get to finish. He said that in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we ain't got to think twice. In other words, we don't have to consult with each other and be careful on how we, you know how sometimes you want to talk to somebody, but you know they lie and they'll turn your words around and you say, I got to be careful on how I answer. They said, no, we ain't got to think about how we're going to say this. Here's how it is. Amen. When you sold out, you say, I don't care what they say, because I'm going to serve him anyhow. Amen. You can talk about how I jump and shout. You can talk about what I do, but I'm going to serve him anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, then he says, look, he says that in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. He didn't say that he was going to, but he said, able. The thing, a true worshiper, a person who worships God, they worship God, they understand that no matter what I go through, God is still able. Now, I know it don't always turn out the way that we want it to turn out, but God is able to deliver us at any moment. Why you've been in it? I've been going through this for about 6 months. I've been going through for about a year. But guess what? He can deliver you any moment, any time he gets ready. He's able. Tell somebody he's able. Yes, he is. He's able. Now then he says that the Lord that we, the God that we serve. Now they were letting him know that we don't just worship any old thing. Why would we worship a dead image who can't talk to us? Why would we worship a dead image that can't deliver us? Why would we worship just because it got good music to it? Why would we worship? I wish I had somebody. Yeah, because that's what we worship. We want to hear the good music. Long as we got some skill for some good music, we'll worship. But what about when it ain't no music? Can you, you the only one at home and you can't sing, but can you worship? I'm asking. You can't do nothing. You can't play no instrument. But I tell you what, can God accept your worship? Will he accept it? Are you sold out? Is your heart fixed and your mind made up? Is it for God you live and for God you die? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting there. I'm going to get over. I'm about done, okay? I know some of y'all ready. Chicken place open. They opened 17 minutes ago. They open. They dropped the hot chicken, and you ready to get out of here. I'm gonna get you. You get the second batch. You may not get the first batch. But then it says, he says that he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. I'm trying these different mics, but I don't like the way it sounds. Check. Amen. He will deliver us out of thine hand. So he says, not only will he deliver us from the fire, but if you try something else. See, I never looked at it like that. But when we come out of the fire and you want to do something else, he'll still deliver us. Y'all with me? He said, look at this. He says that not only will he deliver. Now, when we look at the word deliver here, the word deliver, he's just letting us know that he'll free us from whatever you bind us into. Amen. And so when God delivers us, he actually makes a way of escape. And when God makes a way of escape, the word escape in the Hebrew language, it is a word that means being rubbed smooth from being handled by God. I've been rubbed smooth the more God handles me. The more I'm in his presence, the more he touches me, the smoother I get. And so the smoother I get, the harder it is for the devil to hold on to me. God don't hear me. The smoother I get, the slicker I get, that means that whatever he bind me up in, I can just slide out of the chain. He keep wondering how I keep getting out, but he don't realize I'm smooth. I'm so slick. Why am I so slick? Because I've been oiled down with the presence of God. All right, y'all don't believe. Jesus, the Bible said that Jesus.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Al Toria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana,